Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you would anoint your word. I pray you would anoint me as your servant and fill my lips, fill my mouth. And we know the scriptures, Lord, never return void. Your word is powerful. And so may your word speak to us, that we would be protected from wolves, and that we would, Lord, recognize truth and defend the truth and stand up for truth. And so, Lord, now may your spirit just prevail upon us in a great way. Open our minds and hearts. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is with us and he is our teacher. And we pray this in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. All right. Well, I'm going to begin in John chapter 8. This is all going to be an introduction to the subject of false teachers. And so I'm going to go, before we go to our regular bookmark, we go to John chapter 8. So we'll be turning our pages this morning. John 8. And verse 43, and if you can't get there, you can just listen as I read, if you can't find it fast enough, because I'm going to move around. John 8:43, Jesus said, and by the way, you can take notes at home. One of the great things about being at home is you have a paper and scribble down some, just write the scripture down and read it later. So I was raised in my Calvary Chapel background to take notes. You know, it's good, it's healthy to take notes. A well-marked Bible is a well-marked life. So John 8:43, why is my language, Jesus is speaking, he says, why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language. He is a liar and the father of lies. Yeah, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. You see, so here Jesus says that Satan, the devil, was a murderer in the beginning, a liar, and the father of lies. How do we know this? Jesus said it, but also in Genesis, it says that in the Garden of Eden, the serpent was present, and as Eve walked up to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the serpent said, did God really say you cannot eat from any tree? And Eve said, well, we can eat from any tree, but just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if we eat that or touch it, we will die. And Satan said, oh, you won't die. You'll become like God, knowing good from evil. And seeing that it was good, looked good for eating and taste, she took it and she ate it and she gave it to her husband who was with her. The murderer and the liar. He murdered Adam and Eve. They spiritually died. And the wages of sin is death. When you eat from that tree, you die. Sin leads to death. And so Satan's goal is to deceive. Now, of course, we know we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who took the curse and the penalty for our sin and died on the cross. And our sins there are removed. And as he was died on the cross and was buried and rose on the third day, and we believe in him and ask forgiveness from him, he takes all of our sins away, past, present, and future, declares us to be innocent. His blood is the death penalty for our sin. That's the gospel, and you know that gospel. But Satan is a liar. That's what I want you to notice. Where do these false teachings come from? And the world is full of false information. Not just false teaching in the church, false information outside the church that is contrary to the Bible. Where did these lies come from? Only one source, the father of lies, Satan. So let's start with that observation. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. And what I'm going to have you understand now is that the father of lies peddles these lies, sells them, distributes these lies, distributes them, wearing a disguise. He distributes lies that lead to murder, that lead to spiritual death. He distributes them in a disguise. And so 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, he says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade, you know what a masquerade is, a mask, as servants of righteousness, their end will be what their actions deserve. We in our city have been, all these years I've been in Chico, eight years now, seven and a half years, My wife and I always went to Starbucks downtown. We like Starbucks. We used to do our crossword puzzles there. That's before we had to wear a mask, before the virus. And I remember they started, first of all, the gay rights movement came in, and they would stand on the corner and they would say, "You got a moment for gay rights? You got a moment for gay rights?" And they had you sign something and they got a moment for gay rights. And it was unrelenting. It was every day right outside downtown Starbucks. Went on for a couple of years. The next thing that came downtown Starbucks was the Jehovah's Witnesses. Not one little booth, but sometimes two of them. And they're standing there, a very pleasant looking man, a very pleasant looking woman. Guy's probably got a tie on. The woman just looks well dressed. They give you a smile, morning. And they've got this literature about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, you see, they're disguised as servants of righteousness. But the message that they are giving to you is poison. They will take away the deity of Christ. They won't say he's someone less than God. The mark of a cult is that Jesus is not God. That's a cult. Or they will tell you you can work your way to heaven. You can earn your salvation. That's a cult. I remember a couple of members of our church that might be online right now. I don't know. They were new believers, but they saw downtown this little office that said Christian Science. And they, oh, this is Christian. Yeah, they're from China. They're a Christian. So second, this sounds good. Let's try Christian Science. And they walk inside, and there's literature about how, you know, you don't ever need to go see a doctor and weird things like that that are Christian Science. So you see, the lies, and I'm going to name some later this morning, but the lies of Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormonism or Christian Science or bigger ones like Islam or Hinduism or other things like that. There are so many false religions in the world. And they sometimes come across by very nice people. But they are, nevertheless, they are lies. Satan is a murderer and the father of lies. And he comes wearing that mask. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Just turn one page from Corinthians and you're there. Galatians, 2 Corinthians 13. Flip the page in Galatians chapter 1. Again, we are setting the table for our study today in 2 Peter. Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6, Paul says this, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As I said already, now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." Eternally condemned in the Greek is anathema, and it means accursed to the lowest hell. You'll say, "Oh, Pastor, we need to be nice." Well, you know what? The Bible is really strong about false teachers. Wait till we read our chapter that there are not kind things being said about false teachers. Those who would teach something other than Christ, those who would lead astray God's people, God takes that very seriously. False teachers have a great accountability. And so Satan is the father of lies. Those who bring these lies are themselves deceived, and they are just instruments of Satan because they have been deceived. Do I feel sorry for them? Yes. When I was a new believer, just born again in San Diego County, we used to go witnessing to the Jehovah's Witnesses sometimes, to the Mormons. I can remember we used to talk to the Mormons. And, you know, the Mormons said, "Well, I know it's true. I have a burning in the bosom." And I said, "That could be indigestion." And we used to have these discussions, you know, with them. But you have to be careful of that, though. You got to be called to it because they're very skilled at what they do. But it's not that I have mean-spirited toward them. I want all men to be saved. But there is a very strong warning against false teachers. Satan is real, and their cults are real, and false teaching is real. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. Paul warned about false teaching in Acts 20. He had been in Ephesus, you remember? In Ephesus, he did the greatest work in the New Testament. You check it out. You read the book of Acts. In the 3 years he was in Ephesus, all Asia heard the word of the Lord. He spoke at the lecture hall in Tyrannus. People came in, came out, and all Asia heard the gospel. and God did extraordinary miracles, a great work. But of course, there's spiritual warfare. And this is what in Acts 20, verse 25, Acts 20, verse 25, Paul said, "Now I know that Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Why? "For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God." See that? Paul said, "I've taught you the whole Bible. I am innocent of your blood because chapter by chapter, verse by verse, I have given you the whole will of God." And then he says in verse 28, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God," Jesus is God, "which he bought with his own blood." Jesus is God. He bought the church with his blood. It's his church. And then it says, "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning you night and day with tears." So Paul told the elders, the elders had come from Ephesus over to a place called Miletus where it was safe because Paul was always being chased. And he told those elders, watch out for false shepherds. They might infiltrate the church. Have I ever seen it? Yes, I've seen it. My first church, I remember a guy came in and started criticizing our pastor. You know, he's really not Holy Spirit filled. He's really not, you know, and I was a new Christian, but I knew this guy was a wolf. I knew it. There was another time I was pastoring in Big Bear, California, Calvary Chapel down in Big Bear, and this guy walked into the church. That church was about 600 people at that time. And this guy comes into the church, and he points up to the dove that we had above, and he says, "You see that dove up there? That's an idol." And we showed him the door. There are guys that want to creep in and harm the church. You're a guy, yeah. So you have to be alert to false teaching. So how do we combat this false teaching? How do we deal with it? And the answer is real simple. We know the word of God. John 17, verse 17. I don't even really have to have you turn to it. Jesus said in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." I've been teaching my grandchildren once or twice a week the Bible. And I said to them, "What does sanctify mean?" And they went, "I don't know." and I said, "It means to be set apart for one use. If I only use this pen for one use, and that was to write down Bible notes, that would be a sanctified pen. You are set apart. You are sanctified for one use, and that is to serve and honor God. And you know what sanctifies you and sets you apart? It's the Word and the Holy Spirit. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. So how do we recognize a lie? You've heard this illustration before. How do they train a bank teller to recognize a false counterfeit bill? They do it by showing them the real thing. They give them a $100 bill and they have them hold it up and learn it, and memorize it. So then you come in the bank and you make a deposit and they hold your $100 bill up like that. And they make sure that it's a legitimate bill. Because they recognize the real thing, they will recognize a false thing. The better you know the Word, the stronger you are in the Word, the better you will be protected from the false things. Because church, you can turn to 2 Peter now, by the way. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2. That was just the introduction, guys. 2 Peter 2. Because here's the thing, church, here's the thing. There is a lot of things out there that are more vulnerable, especially Satan preys on new believers. Did you know that? I'll show you that in the chapter. A guy is just beginning to get out of the world. He's just beginning to get free from sin. And Satan goes, here's another little thing. And tries to take him away. So we need to be careful, especially if you're a new believer. You need to just dig into the Word. There's so many cults. When we say cults, what do we mean nowadays? I've named a few, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Islam. There's a book by Walter Martin. It's the classic book. I'm holding up a book just like Janet. You see that book? And Walter Martin was the master at dealing with the cults. He's since gone to be with the Lord. But the kingdom of cults, right on the back, it says the Baha'i faith, Buddhism, Christian Science, Eastern religion, Islam, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormon, New Age cult, and the Unification Church, and many, many more. And so there are false religious systems that are out there. And they say things like, you can work your way to heaven, but you can't. Or Jesus isn't really God, but he is. And also be careful, church, and I say this, I love you guys, don't believe everything you read on the internet. There's, you know, with all, we get a lot of time on our hands now with the COVID, we're all sitting at home. And I hear people think that, well, if you take the vaccine, you're taking the mark of the beast. Where does it, no, that's just an internet rumor. Beware of internet rumors. Use your Bible as a standard of truth. There's so many, there's a teaching called health and wealth. Because you're a Christian, you'll never be sick. That's not true. Or because you're a Christian, you'll always be rich. That's not true. You might be. You might be. I hope you are healthy and provided for, but there's no guarantee of all that. So beware of false teaching. Now, that's an introduction. Now let's go to 2 Peter and see what Peter had to say. But I want to say one more thing, and that is, it wasn't just Peter. Paul warned of false teachers. Jude warned of false teachers. One of the characteristics that all the apostles of the first century agreed upon is that there would be the coming of false teachers. And that's just because Satan is real. We're in this battle. When you become a Christian, you're a minority. You're a stranger living on a world full of lies. And the thing that sanctifies you, that makes you separate, is that you believe the word of God. That's why your pastor urges you to read the Bible each morning. Start your day. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus and coffee. That's my philosophy. Okay, so I love to open my notebook and read the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So I took this week, I have a good Greek book called Weist Greek, and he breaks every Greek word down. It's excellent. And plus I read the Amplified Bible and so forth. And in the Greek this week, I just took every verse and decided to take a look at it. The verse one is saying that these false teachers will sneak in. They're gonna with stealth, kind of just creep into the church. They're gonna sneak in. And it says that they're gonna deny Jesus. They're going to deny that he is the Christ. You see, anyone that denies Jesus is a type of Antichrist. That's what 1 John says. A true Christian is one who believes that Jesus is God become a man who was among us in the flesh. There were, I won't get into it, but there was something called Gnostics in those days, Gnostics. And they believed that Jesus was just kind of a phantom and it didn't really come physically and things like that. They have all kinds of weird teaching. Anyone that denies Jesus is a heretic. He's a false teacher. And they will sneak in denying Jesus. And they will bring swift destruction on themselves. Verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. So they're going to have a large following. And in the Greek, it implies they're going to follow it all the way to the end. There's some people that follow these cults all the way to the end. Many will follow the false teachers. Many. Isn't that sad?
Yes.
All the way to the end, they're going to follow them. And because of them, the way of the truth is reviled because they're claiming to be Christians. We're claiming to be believers, but they're following something that's false. I'm always struck by what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, broad is the road to destruction, and many there be. And narrow is the road that leads to life, and few there be. That says to me that there are more people going to hell than there are going to heaven. And that's very, very sad. And it's a warning to me, I don't want to be on that broad road. I want to be on the narrow road. The narrow road is the road of the cross, where Jesus shed his blood. It's the road of grace, not works. It's the road of Jesus. I believe you're the Son of God. It's the road of faith. That's the narrow road. But many will follow this broader road, and they will bring the way of truth into disrepute. So many things happen today in the name of church that bring the church embarrassment. Verse 3. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. So one of the characteristics is they're greedy. False teachers are greedy. They want your money. They want to exploit you. And so if someone is coming to you begging for money, it's often a thing that with stories they've made up, they'll make up stories, imaginary things. There were guys that had written books about imaginary experiences. Did you know that? One of them was a Christian book, unfortunately. And it was a book called Michael, Why Do You Hate Me? Where some Jewish guy wrote this book and said Jesus appeared to him and spoke to him. He later admitted the entire book was false. You don't need to make up stories. But they're greedy and they make up stories to exploit you. Their destruction has not been sleeping. Verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them as an example of what's going to happen to the ungodly. And if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented, his righteous soul, by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue ungodly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Do you realize what a long sentence that is I just read? Verses 4 all the way through 9 is one sentence. Mm-hmm. Now, let's break it down just a little bit. Verse 4, 2 Peter 2, 4, y'all still there with me? 2 Peter 2, 4. God didn't spare angels. Remember the angels rebelled against God? You remember that? Satan was proud. God created the angels before he created mankind. We know that because it says in Job, the morning stars were rejoicing when God made the world. Morning stars are a reference to Satan. God made the angels, and the angels made a once-forever choice. Either they would follow God or they would not. Satan, a very beautiful and powerful angel, which is also translated Lucifer, which means light giver, Fospero, light giver, Satan rebelled. And we read about it in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14. Write that down, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. Go read it for yourself. Don't believe everything they say. Check it out. And it's also referring to the king of Tyre and the king of Babylon, but it's a dual reference to Satan, where they became proud. It says, you were in the Garden of Eden, you became proud, you were corrupt. Because of your wisdom, you said, I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. I will ascend above the stars. In other words, Satan said, I want to be God. And one third of the angels fell with him, according to Revelation 12. The dragon's tail swept one third of the stars, reference to angels. So that was the original angel rebellion. They're called the angels that kept not their first estate. We read about them in Jude also. I'll show you that. Angels that rebelled against God. And Satan was the leader of these fallen angels. And many of these angels are at large, like Satan. He's still at large, and that helps us to make a choice between good and evil, I guess. And we have put on the armor of God, and we are kept safe from Satan. But the other angels that fell, they're locked in a place called hell. You see in verse 4, hell? Hell there is a reference not to the final hell, not the lake of fire, but to Tartarus. This word is used only here in the New Testament, Tartarus. And it translates into a very, very dark, gloomy dungeon in chains of darkness. God has chained these fallen angels until a final lake of fire where they'll be put there in Tartarus. Can you imagine? I don't want to be too negative here, but have you ever thought about what it would be like to be in a very, very, very dark place, separated from God forever? The Bible doesn't just describe hell as a lake of fire. It describes it as a place of outer darkness. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just know that it's a dreadful thing to reject Jesus Christ. Dreadful. Because people that are saying I don't want God. You know, do they know what they're saying? They will be separated from him forever and ever and ever. In this lake of the fire and in this darkness. Keep your hand here and turn to Jude. Just turn past 1 John, you'll get to Jude. Not very far away, as you go right, turn to the book of Jude. Look at verse 6. Jude is very similar to 2 Peter. Some people think they borrowed from each other, which would not be unstrange. Jude, verse 6. It's only one chapter. So they don't give you a chapter. Just Jude, verse 6. It says, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, you see, darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment for the great day. Wow. And later in Jude 13, it mentions these people for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. So Jude 7, Jude 13, darkness, darkness, darkness for the fallen angels. So go back now to 2 Peter. So this is what happens to false teachers, you guys. He goes, oh, Pastor, be nice. I didn't like this. This is the tone of Peter saying there's judgment coming for false teachers. And then verse 5, it says, if he didn't spare the ancient world. The other example, not just the angels, how about the flood with his ungodly people and Noah, a preacher of righteousness. The word ungodly there in the Greek means with no reverence at all toward God, destitute of reverence to God, no honoring of God. But Noah, it says, was saved. And that doesn't mean salvation. That means preserved, kept safe. Noah was kept safe in that flood. He was preserved, Noah and seven others. Notice, by the way, that Noah is described as a preacher of righteousness. So, you know, while Noah was hammering away with that, putting that ark together, sawing away, he was preaching. I don't know what that was. They were, hey, what are you building, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why? Because it's going to rain. They said, what is rain? Because it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. The world's going to flood and you need to repent. You need to get right with God. Oh, I've never heard of rain. I don't believe you. Don't believe you. Don't believe you. He was a preacher of righteousness. And the ancient world was destroyed. We're going to talk about this next week also. The flood is real. The flood really happened and happened about 5,000 years ago. And there's a coming judgment by fire. So Noah is an example of someone saved, but the others were judged. In verse 6, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Burning them to ashes. In the Greek language, that comes from the same word. What happened when Mount Vesuvius exploded? Ashes, ashes, and more ashes. We have one microphone that needs to be turned off. So ashes, ashes, ashes. And so he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he rescued Lot. He rescued Lot, a righteous man. I love verse 7. He rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the filthy lives of the lawless men around him. That righteous man living in there day and night was tormented in his soul, or in one translation, vexed in his soul. I am very encouraged that God saved Lot. Lot looked around at the evil that he saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, and it vexed him. It distressed him. The word means it made him tired. It afflicted his soul with exhaustion and toil because he was oppressed by all the evil around him. We are so evil now, it's sometimes, oh, Lord. You mean they shot the police officer in the face? What? They did this? Oh. It kind of like Lot, we're vexed. What's happening in our world? What's happening in the United States is becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, God. Lot, what I like about Lot, now someone's presenting. I need you to rescue me here. Can you guys still see me? Joe? There are problems with technology. There you go. I need someone to tell me if I'm still on. Okay, according to my screen, Teresa Sia is presenting. You can all still see me? Because my screen... Okay, well, I'm
Sorry, Pastor Roger, I lost my battery. Sorry.
It's okay. No condemnation. No condemnation. Just wanted to make sure I'm still on. Okay, this is technology. No problem, sister. As long as you can hear me, I'll keep going. So Lot was rescued. Can you all hear me? Can you, somebody tell me they can hear me? All right, thank you, because I'm getting weird things all over my screen. I'll ignore those things.
Yeah.
So Lot...
We're back.
We're there?
Yep.
Okay. Lot was rescued out. You know why I think that's amazing? It's because Lot, if you look at his life, it was not perfect. My goodness, Lot's daughters became, he made a bad choice to go to Sodom. And then his children and his family became corrupt. And just read the life of Lot. Lot was an imperfect man, and yet God rescued him. And that it gives me hope that he's going to rescue me. And you know what this all means is that the rapture of the church is coming. Because you see, God is able, it says, to rescue. Go skip down to verse 9. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. God is not going to bring the great tribulation on the church. Abraham prayed for Lot. He said, Father, if there are 40 righteous people, would you save the city? Yes. If there are 20, yes. If there are 10, yes. You see, God would not judge the righteous with the wicked. And so Lot is a type of the rapture. Jesus is going to judge his own church. Noah is a type of the 144,000 preserved through the great tribulation. But so Noah represents the Jews going through the tribulation and being kept by God. But the church, Lot represents the church being raptured before the great tribulation, before the destruction. And so, and then in verse 10, it says, this is especially, I'll speed up a little bit, my time's going away. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of a sinful nature and despise authority. Mm. Notice, they despise authority. In the Greek, that means the same thing. They have no trouble defaming authority, speaking against authority. And it says, bold and arrogant, these men are not ashamed to slander celestial beings, angels, or whatever. Yet even angels, although they're stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they don't understand. They're like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. And so these guys are just speaking against angels. If you turn out a Jude, turn back to Jude one more time. Jude verse 8. I told you we have to compare with Jude. Jude verse 8. Here's an example. It says, in the very same way these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority. We have a lot of that going on right now in our country. And slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. You see, Michael was one of the most powerful angels, but when he disputed with Satan, he had a disagreement with Satan over the body of Moses. What's that about? Well, I'll give it to you very simple. Moses died on Mount Nebo, and we read in Scripture that the Lord buried him. The Lord buried Moses. It is probable, and this is speculative, that Satan wanted the location of Moses' burial to be made known so that people would idolize it, that Israel would make an idol of the burial of Moses. So Michael, in disputing about the thing, noticing it over the burial of Moses, he didn't say rebuke himself, not even Michael. He said, the Lord rebuke you. He put Jesus between himself and Satan. Never do I revile Satan. You hear people say loose things about, no, you say the Lord rebuke. I'm no match for Satan, but I put the Lord between myself and the enemy. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. And so just be careful of people who defame authority. You know, I don't even want to say these things. I mean, the things I hear said about President Trump, regardless if your feelings of him, you've seen it, the graffiti in our parks, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that, but they defame authority. That's a mark of satanic rebelliousness. As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The only thing holding back the Antichrist is the church. And the church is going to be raptured. Jesus is coming in an hour we think not. And he's going to save us, everybody. Mm. We're all flawed. We're all weak. But he loves us. Mm. All of you who confess Jesus, we're pretty different. We have some rough edges, so I will have a lot of rough edges. But he's going to take us home, just like he took Lot home. He's going to take us home. And we want to avoid all these false teachers. Let me finish. Let me move it up a gear. Verse 13, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they've done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures with you while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. An accursed brood. So they're full of adultery and greediness, and they're in broad daylight. They're revelry, revelry. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. You know the story of Balaam. If I had more time, I'd go there, but we're going to wrap up in about 5 minutes. In Numbers 22 through 25, you can find the story of Balaam. You should read it if you've never read it. Balaam was offered money to curse God's people. And finally, he got on his donkey and was going to go curse the people, and the donkey crushed his leg against the wall, and he began to beat his donkey, and he's just mad at his donkey, and his donkey turned to him and started talking to him. He says, I've never done this to you before. You're going the wrong way. You know, donkey was conversing with him, and because a donkey saw the angel that was standing in the way. And long story short, Balaam went ahead and went, but instead of cursing, he could only say what God told him to say. And he put him on one mountain and look over Israel, and he could only bless them. Even though he was being paid to curse them, he didn't curse them at all. It's a great story. I did it as a children's play when I was pastoring in Manila, Philippines. It was a cute story. You had to see it. He was riding on his donkey going, let's go curse the people. You know, no. Balaam thought he could make money by cursing God's people. And that's of course, Balaam was killed as a false prophet. So verse 17, these men are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. We've already talked about that. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping those who live in error. In the Greek, that means just what I said. These people are just beginning to become Christians, and they go to a cult, and a cult gets a hold of them. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff, people are just, I think I want to follow Jesus. That sounds good. And they, we'll help you. Come to our cult, you see. People are just escaping, and the cults, the false teachers, prey on them. Verse 19, they promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they've escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they would have been at the beginning. You know, it would have been better for those guys to never have known the Lord, because that's how severe the punishment will be. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred commandment that was passed on to them. And here's our final verse. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that's washed goes back to wallowing in the mud. A quotation from Proverbs 26:11. And so false teaching, guys, false teaching, they sneak in, they use greed, they use the flesh and the things of the flesh, and they deceive. But God will judge false prophets. As he judged the angels that fell, he will judge false prophets. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. He will judge the false prophets. He rescued Lot. He's going to rescue you if you're following Jesus Christ. He's going to rapture you. So what do we learn this morning? Well, I think it's very simple. Stay strong in the word. And you will, you know what Jesus said, I'll say this in closing. Jesus said in John chapter 10, that I am a good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. They will run away from a stranger because they don't recognize his voice. You guys need to stay close to the Lord. You know his voice. I know my wife's voice. If I woke up in bed in the middle of the night with somebody else, I'd go, wait a minute, who are you? And you guys know the Lord. So follow his voice. Follow the tender voice of Jesus. Stay in the scripture. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for giving us your word, which sanctifies us, sets us apart as holy to be used by you. Help us to honor your word every day, to stay in your word every morning, and to read the word to our children. Help all the parents to read the word to their children every day. And Lord, to speak your word when we rise up and when we sit down, when we walk along the road, to be full of your word. Lord, we're living in evil times. There's teachings on evolution, other things I didn't even mention. Lord, things that are not biblical, things that are in error. So help us, Lord, to embrace your word with all of our heart, to be like in Philippians, Lord, as I read this week, that to shine like stars as we hold out the word of life to a wicked and depraved generation. Help us, Lord, to shine, to hold out your word, to be witnesses for you. We love you, Lord. Bless your flock. Bless your people. Preserve us from evil. God, pray for spiritual health for all the saints. Grow CIF into the church you want it to be, Father. It's your church. Thank you, Father. We worship you. In Jesus' name. Amen.